Okay, so moving into the topic of Tzitzis, Tchelet, Lavan, all that stuff. So the, what? Lavan, yes, Tchelet, Lavan.
Not Lavan the person.
No, not you. Okay.
I'm back.
So, yes, you are.
Make my presence known.
Okay, so the Gemara at the end of the third parak, the beginning of the fourth parak, presents a general issue that has applications in these sugyot, but it really deserves sort of a bit of a systematic analysis to understand. And that's the question of how do we categorize mitzvot. So the Mishnah had cited a machloket as to whether the four strings of tzitzis are one mitzvah or four. The beginning of the fourth perek brings a similar discussion about the relationship between tchelet and lavan. Right? Are tchelet and lavan one mitzvah? Are they ma'akev each other? And the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. So what I want to do is try to understand what this even means and why it matters. Daniel, wherever he went, there he is. Daniel asked me why this matters. The answer is I don't know 100% why it matters. Much of the discussion of the Rishonim about maybe a little bit of background is in order. Why did the Rishonim, many of the Rishonim, write Sefer HaMitzvah to begin with? Shimon, why did the Rishonim write Sefer HaMitzvah? What was the point? What? So really, the reason comes down to the fact that the Gemara end of Makot quotes the statement of Rav Simlai that there are 613 mitzvot, which then leads to this entire enterprise in the Rishonim of trying to figure out are there in fact 613 mitzvot. I should note, and maybe this will shake some of your emuna, I don't know, that the Ramban does note that this may not paskin that way. The assumption of Sefer HaMitzvot is that there's a Mesorah, that there are 613 mitzvot. The Ramban says that may not be the case. It may be that Rav Simlai simply counted the mitzvot as he saw them and came 613.
Nope.
But what are the chances that you go through the Gemara and, you know, every time there's a machloket, chayev, asur, mutter, etc., that every single position, by the time you work out the math, is going to come to the number of 613. Therefore, the Ramban does present the possibility that this number was just Rav Simlai's personal opinion based on the way he counted the mitzvot, and no one else agreed. If that was the case, then the entire enterprise of Sefer HaMitzvot would be pointless. But the assumption of the Rishonim who wrote Sefer HaMitzvot was that was not true, that there was a Mesorah, that there are specifically 613. So that's where we're going. Now, in light of that, so one of the earliest Sefer HaMitzvot that we have was the Bahag, right? The Sefer of the Bahag, the Sefer of the Halacha Gedolot, written by the Baal Halacha Gedolot, right? The author of the Halacha Gedolot, hence the Bahag. The reason we just refer to it as the Bahag is because who wrote it?
Baal.
Well, we're not really sure. So the author of that book is the author of that book. That's tautologist. We don't 100% know. Could have, right? Some of the Rishonim thought it was Rabbi Yehudai Gaon. There's some Gaon. We're not 100% sure. Maybe Rabbi Yehudai. The Rambam really, really disliked the methodology of the Bahag. Had certain very core arguments with the Bahag in terms of counting mitzvot. For example, the Bahag thought that it was legitimate to count the Rabbanans in the Tariag mitzvot. The Rambam thought it wasn't. Things like that. So the Rambam wrote a response called the Sefer HaMitzvot, which he started with the Shorashim. The Shorashim are where he sets out his principles of what is necessary in terms of counting a mitzvah, what are the parameters, and then he used those parameters to write the Sefer HaMitzvot. Okay, so what I want to do is, before I really get into the sugyas of tzitzit and tchelet and tefillin, and etc., I wanted to take this first sugya to ask the broader question, right? Meaning all these sugyot are talking about the relationship between these what might have been parts of mitzvah, what might be separate mitzvahs which are conceptually linked. But the Gemara here introduces discussions explicitly about what it means for something to be more to be considered one mitzvah or multiple mitzvot. And I want to take that as the starting point to, as I said, try to understand the fundamental issue. So, who wants to take the Gemara, right? The Gemara said, quote this machloket as whether the four tzitzit, tzitziot really, are counted or as one mitzvah or four, and the implication of that for the Gemara is whether they are ma'akev. Meaning, if you don't wear all of them, right?
Do you have a mitzvah still from wearing one?
Well, let's see what the Gemara actually said. Who wants to take the Gemara?
All right.
Okay, go, Devin.
So the four tzitziot are makiv the beged because they're all together as one mitzvah. Nami nainu are one difference between them. Amar Rav Yosef sadin ba tzitzit ika benayu. So the sadin of a tzitzit are the difference between them.
What does that mean?
You know it's sadin then.
Oh, so that was really important. So the halacha is that, despite the fact that there's a prohibition against what? Shatnez? Tzitzit are excluded from the prohibition of shatnez. So the Gemara says the nafka mina is, what happens if you have shatnez tzitzis, but you are missing one of the four tzitziot? Did you violate kilayim? Did you violate shatnez? If you think that they are one mitzvah, so did you violate shatnez?
Yes.
Yes, because it wasn't tzitzit, and therefore it was shatnez. If you think that they are separate mitzvahs, that means that the three tzitzit that you did have, are they mitzvahs?
Yeah.
Mitzvot? Yes. Therefore, did you violate shatnez?
No.
No. Right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Sadin, tipishkan b'tzitzit b'tchilat imra. Right, the tzitzit was made of linen, and the tchelet was made of, what's imra?
Wool.
Good guess. Right, tchelet has to be made on wool.
And the rest are linen?
No, these are all wool.
Yeah. Okay.
So is the beged.
Yeah.
Right? I happen to be wearing a wool beged, right? Everything I'm wearing is wool.
Right.
Right? So you can see this is like light wool.
But back
right?
then you would have it made from wool.
But you could, if you wanted to. Damar mitzvah achad hein. So the Tanakh of Damar mitzvah achad hein. Hilkach ichaser sadin tzitzit echad leka mitzvah avolu inach kilayim. So therefore, if, according to the Tanakhama, if it's one mitzvah, if you're missing one of the tzitziot, so then it's not a mitzvah, so it is kilayim. Rabbi Shmuel, lo avi kilayim, da shalosh, shenisharu shlosha mitzvot hein. Okay, so that's nafka mina number one that the Gemara proposes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does this apply for the beged itself? Like, if you have the four tzitziot, but then aside from the strings themselves and the beged itself, if
that's what's talking about, right? The beged
have linen and wool.
No. The beged can't have. The beged has no kedusha. Is it the beged to the tzitzit? Right? You can have a linen beged with wool tzitzit. You can't have. Okay. Remember, okay. This is an important point, right? In the time of the Torah, where did you put your tzitzit? Yeah, on which beged?
Any four-corner garment.
And what begadim were those?
Yeah.
Yes, your normal clothing, right? The fact that we think of tzitzis as like something that we put on underneath our shirt or something we wear at davening, shakras, maybe mincha, Daniel can tell you about that later, is only because we don't normally wear four-corner garments. But if you would, you'd have to put tzitzis on it. Right? There's a Rav who lives in Alon Shvut who does this. He has a suit jacket and he just cut it a little bit farther up to make it at his four corners, and he wears tzitzis on his suit. Right? On his whatever, on the jacket part of it. Right? You can do that.
It's
right?
Far in fact, isn't it? For it to be considered four
corners. Okay. So, obviously, therefore, the beged can't have kilayim, right? Meaning, saying the beged can have kilayim if it sits on it is throwing the mitzvah of, you know, kilayim essentially in the garbage. Saying, no, from the tchelet, right, to the tzitzit itself, right? Like, if I theoretically, on a biblical level, if I wanted to, I could have attached these tzitzit to linen.
Wait, does that mean that you could wear a shatnez suit if it has
chitzis? No, that's what I just said isn't true.
But,
no, that's what I...
It is true, though.
No, it's not true. I just said it means that the tzitzit to the beged, right? The beged can be linen and the tzitzit wool. You can't have shatnez mixed into the beged. It's the tzitzit to the beged. That's right. I just said. I said, don't do this, right? Don't do this at home, right? No shatnez wearing, okay?
Unless you're trying to sell. Isn't that the whole thing?
Yes, there is such a sugya. Are you a cloak? Okay, yes. It's a beautiful sugya, not for now. Okay, good. Fine.
Rama bar Ahina Amar Talit Bala Hamish Ikabi. So a talitha has 5 corners.
Good. Why is that a difference?
Because then would that be then you put that fifth one on, and then if you do, then you'd be saying those are that needs a compilation of either all 5 of them, which would then not make it 4 being to 1 mitzvah, or do you say that's 5 separate mitzvah?
Right. So what he says is, right, if you look at Rashi, he says, look, according to the Shita that it is 1 mitzvah, then a beged with 5 corners is a chayiv and tzitzit? Yes, but how many tzitziot do you put?
4.
4. Right? But if you think it's separate mitzvahs, how many tzitziot will you put?
5.
5. Right? You'll put on kanaf hachamishi. Okay? Then the Gemara gives another machlokes, another shita.
It's a 5-cornered garment.
Chayiv and tzitzit. Yes. Yes, that is a Gemara later on that we will see. Right, this is just the introduction. We're moving into the tzitzit sugyas. Okay, then the Gemara gives another nafkamina. What is it?
Okay. Ravina Amar deravuna ikabinahu damaravuna hayote batalit shina nitsu yetzet kilchata v'shabat chayav chata.
Right. So here's the halacha. Are you allowed to go outside on Shabbos with clothes that have tzitzit?
Yes.
Yes. Why? In a place where you can't carry. Okay.
It's part of your baguette.
Good. What happens? Are you allowed to go out with something that is just not part of the baguette?
No.
No, that's called carrying. Right. That's a isur d'oraisa. So what happens if you have 3 tzitziot?
That's what the Gemara
says. If it's 1 mitzvah, now, Agav, you're not allowed to wear it, right? If it has 4 corners and there only is 3 tzitziot, right? You have to put on a 4th corner. But in time at Shabbos, the question is, are you chayev for Shabbos? Right? So if you think that they're separate mitzvahs, are you chayev?
You get the punishment.
No, because you get a punishment for not putting on the 4th, but in the meantime, the 3 are mitzvahs, and therefore they're significant, and therefore it's
okay.
A beged. Right?
No,
if you think it's 1 mitzvah, are you chayev?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right?
So you wouldn't get punished for being...
What?
It could still...
No, that's what the Gemara is saying. No, that's what the Gemara is saying. That is what is chayev. No, because no normal person would wear tzitzit if they weren't halachic significant, and therefore the Gemara says it's carrying. That's what the Gemara claims. You can ask Yosef later, right? But there's a minhag in the Soloveitchik family, which is, as we'll see a little bit later, to not wear tzitzis on Shabbos. Correct. Why?
Because there's 2 things to say.
Because they're worried about the possibility that tchelet makev is a lavan, that without tchelet, you're not yotze the mitzvah, and therefore, if you wear tzitzit outside, it's meaningless, and therefore you're carrying, right? And you'll find different people will do different things. Some people will do it only where there isn't an Erev, right? So like when I was in Poland, Rav Khan, from Gush, did not wear his tzitzit in Warsaw or Krakow or wherever for Shabbos. Krakow? No, in Warsaw. In Warsaw for Shabbos? Because there's no Erev. You'll have other briskers who will combine 2 brisker chumras, right? One is not to wear tzitzit on Shabbos, the other is not to hold of any Erev. So, Mimela, they'll just never wear tzitzit on Shabbos. You can ask Yosef about it. I think I discussed it with him at some point. So that's the Gemara's 3rd nafkamina. Okay? Now, my guys will probably, I don't know if you guys will still be with me, we'll get to the question, which is, why didn't the Gemara just ask like more basic questions? Like, is this meaningful at all? Do you make a bracha? Right? Is this, like, all types of sort of basic questions. Why does it only pick these? That's a question we'll have to come back to. But what I want to do before we do that is first ask, what does this even mean? Right? Like, what does it mean for something to be one mitzvah? How do you decide that? How do we get to that point? So, the, like I said, the three issues that we will analyze in the course of the coming weeks, right, as it comes up in the sugya, are the one to four tzitzit, which is what we'll do now, right, Lavan and Tchelet of tzitzit, and the Tzulon Shel Yad and the Tzulon Shel Rosh. Okay? But what does it mean? Right? What standards do we have to figure out whether something is one mitzvah or not? So let us read the Rambam and try to come up with a... We're going to do a careful read of the Rambam today. That's what we're going to do. The Rambam, and if we can, the Maisa Nisim, or part of it. I want to just try to understand, what does this question even mean? What does it mean for something to be one mitzvah? Because in this Gemara, right, it sounds like one or multiple mitzvot has... Right, certain nafkaminas where it's relevant whether this is one unit or not, right? But it doesn't really explicitly tell you what the... It tells you the nafkamina. It doesn't tell you the principle, right? What would determine, right? What principles do we have to determine whether things are related in that way or not? So let's look at the Rambam. This is the Shoresh Yod Aleph, okay? And as we read through it, I want you to try to help me actually figure out what he is saying, okay?
Is that all for the Gemara?
What? Okay, we can finish the Gemara now if you want. Let's finish it up. What? Yeah.
Sorry, no, you definitely wanted to.
What?
So I wasn't suggesting that we do the Gemara. I was just asking if that was all.
Don't worry, Devin. We know how you like to finish portions of it.
Well, no, meaning for now, I needed that point, right? I need those points. I mean, we'll continue eventually, presumably. If you want, we can get to the two dots. We can go to the two dots. Right? So then the Gemara says, Amar of Shesha Breda of Edi, Haiman de Batzer Leglima, Lo Ovid Velo Klum. Like someone who cut off a corner has not done anything, right? Meaning to Pater from Tzitzis, because as we just said, a five corner garment is also Chayv. So if you cut at the corner, right, you now have five. In order to make it Pater, what do you need to do the corner? Round it. Right, round it. You have to make it not a corner. You don't add a corner. Round it.
That's only if you find it that three can work, can still each hold their own mitzvah.
No. Everyone agrees that a three-corner garment is not chayav. The question is, when you have a four-corner garment, are the three corners chayav?
Right. So then, why?
No one holds a three-corner garment as chayav.
Why would you round the fourth one? Because you know you have to put the other tzitzit on it.
So that you won't be chayav at all.
At all.
If it doesn't have four corners, it's not chayav. So, yes, technically, the Gemara later on, as we'll see, says that if you try to avoid the mitzvah of tzitzit, it's legitimate, but when God is angry, he'll smite you down.
Oh, it's the story about the guys at the Malach.
Yeah, exactly. It's Rav Katina, right? He'll say, look, it's not that it's usher, it's just that, you know, if God sees that you're trying to use loopholes to get out of mitzvah, so when things are going badly and God is looking for someone to punish, you're right up there on the list. So you can, I just wouldn't suggest it. Right? That's why we all wear tzitzis. That's where that comes from. Because we're like...
When God is what?
Angry.
Angry?
Yes. Bishas Rizcha.
Hashem has emotion like anger?
Huh.
That's weird. Has emotion.
Isn't that fascinating?
All right, I don't know.
Thank you, Max. That was helpful. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, my anthropomorphic friends. Good. Let's move on. Okay. Anthropomorphizing, I guess. Okay. So, Gemara says, Shavi talit balat chamesh. You just made a five-corner garment. Amar of Mashar, Sheaman, Detzairei, Leglima, Lo Avad, Velo Klum. If you, right, fold it over, bunch it up, tie it together, it also doesn't change it. Because my time, I come on the shari, you dummy. Right, you want to change the baguette, you got to sew it up. Right, you can't just like tie it up, you can't glue it, right? It needs to be a permanent change, and the Gemara proves it. From, Utananami, Kala Chamatara, Tsuroto, Rot, Kutz Mishal, Arviim, and Amar Rav Dimi, Minarda, Mind the Chaite, Lublim, Lovdlo, Klum, Izalomi, Boile, Livsok, Vilishadye. The Gemara then brings the halacha from a totally different context. From Kalim, which are Makabel Tuma, and in that context, the Gemara says that if you want to make something not a clay or into a clay, you can't just take a leather sort of sheet and tie it up into a bag, right? That's not a kli, right? It has to be sewed up to be a kli and all the relevant issues that come in Tumah, but we will not get bogged down in that right now. Okay, so let's look at the Rambam. How do we define mitzvot? So let's look at, okay. Who wants to read? We're going to read this very carefully because I want to try to really understand what the Rambam is saying. Who wants to read the Rambam? I know, Usher. Love the Rambam. No, you're scared of the Rambam. Okay.
I'm not scared of the Rambam. I just don't like reading.
Okay.
A resident blacksmith, maybe?
Who wants to read it? Who's willing to... Who's brave and is going to read the Rambam?
Joseph?
It's not like I'm not hearing anything.
Yes, what?
Joseph. Okay. I won't make you read the whole thing, but let's start. Right. Okay, good. So this is the 11th rule that he has is right, it is not proper to count what? Good. But I do have to point out that we're going to try to be medayik, but it is a bit hard because this is a translation. Because the mitzvah was written in Judeo-Arabic. So, what? You joke. I know people who speak Judeo-Arabic. When I had questions that depend on Judeo-Arabic, I would ask them.
How do you know people who speak Judeo-Arabic?
Because when I was in Toronto, the rabbi of the shul that I worked in, right, Karopkin, is the translator of the Kuzari for Feldheim and speaks Judeo-Arabic fluently. And therefore, when I would have questions, yes, he speaks Judeo. Yes, you didn't know that? Whenever I had Judeo-Arabic questions, I asked Rai Karopkin, and he knows because he speaks Judeo-Arabic, right? Like medieval Judeo-Arabic. He's a very chashuv person. He's a very, very chashuv person. We love Rai Karopkin. He's now also the president of the RCA. Who knew? Okay. Totally irrelevant. But Judeo-Arabic was not irrelevant. But yes, when I would have questions at the Rambam, I would like email him, like, what does this mean? And he's like, well, this is what the Judeo-Arabic was. This is what it means. This is the connotations of it. Yes, that's why it says on the green Feldheim, you know, Kuzari and Daniel Karopkin. There's probably one around. See it? That one. See? And Daniel Karopkin. See it?
Yeah.
There you go. That's the same one. There you go. You learn something new every day. Did you ever wonder why he always teaches Kuzari? Because he loves the Kuzari, because he translated it. It was also scary. I once gave a shiur where I made a claim about the Kuzari, and Kedarka Bakodesh, she's like, oh, I loved everything about the shiur, except I have a few comments on your interpretation of the Kuzari. Of course you do! That's the one you're going to have comments on. Great. Okay.
So he knows that out.
Yes. Okay, good. Go, Yosef. Okay, let's read that line very carefully. You shouldn't count parts of the mitzvah when what?
When the
parts... This sounds tautological, right?
You count the parts of the mitzvah, the parts of the mitzvah become one.
Correct, right? The Rambam says you shouldn't count parts of a mitzvah if, when they are put together, they are one mitzvah. Meaning, what is the Rambam saying? That sounds tautological, right? 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 What does that mean? Right? Let's be very careful. Let's read the Rambam carefully. Now, who seems not to... Whatever we're about to read, who seems not to believe this?
Isn't it our Gemara?
The position our Gemara, yes. Who is that? Yes, right, who thinks that the four tzitzit are four mitzvot, right? I don't know exactly how to explain that, right? But presumably this is the Rambam within the accepted position lehalacha. But, so what does that line mean? Kishaya mikubatz, right? You shouldn't count parts of a mitzvah, but what's the Rambam really saying? You shouldn't count parts of a mitzvah independently if what?
If it's all one mitzvah.
Yeah, meaning if when you put them together, they make up an organic whole that is conceptually one mitzvah, then, meaning it's sort of circular. Meaning he's saying, if the end result is something which is clearly one unit, then the parts of it are just that. Parts. right?
That's like definitional.
Yeah, that I said that. I said tautological. You said definitional. Same thing, right? Right. Or, should I not use the word tautological? Did no one understand what I meant when I said the word tautological?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what that word is, but I know you're about that.
Okay, who would like to look up the word tautological and read a formal translation of that? Thank you, Yosef.
Tautological. Turn into logic.
Tautological.
Tautology is a formula or assertion or assertion that is true in every possible interpretation.
It's saying the same
correct.
Thing.
And therefore,
an example is x equals y or x does not equal y.
Correct. Right. Tautology is something that is obviously true no matter how you do it because usually it's definitional and therefore the tautologies are usually not worth saying. They are true, so obviously true and always true that barely worth saying. So good. So let's continue in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Pa'amim, come on.
Yeah.
Pa'amim.
Pa'amim ye hatsivui.
Hatsivui.
Hatsivui ha'achar. Ha'achad. Shehu mitzvah ha'achad yesh lo chlokim rabim.
Right? Sometimes there will be one command, which is one mitzvah, which has parts. Okay, good. Kimo.
Kimo mitzvah lulav, like the mitzvah of lulav. Shaya arba minim.
Shehi arbat minim. Meaning, when you say lulav, what you mean is four. Said someone give me a proof from our practice that this is how we perceive it.
Because you do the bracha of lulav, everything together.
And what bracha do we make?
Alantila
lulav, except you're taking arba minim. Ah, haraya, right? Good. Now, why do we say alantila lulav and not alnitilat arba minim? Good question, right? The Rishonim have all types of wonderful answers, many of which are weird and mystical that I don't understand. Like something like lulav is the shem Hashem, and I don't know what that means. But okay.
Different person, like.
Yeah. But great. But why the lulav? Okay, fine. Yes, exactly. So he says, Hine. Right, what does it say? Lone marki preta dar mitzvah bifne atzma, v'kapot tmarim mitzvah bifne atzma, v'anaf eitzavot mitzvah bifne atzma, v'arenacham bifne atzma. We don't say that the esrog is a mitzvah in and of itself, and the hadasim are a mitzvah in and of itself, and the arava are a mitzvah in and of itself, the luv are a mitzvah in and of itself. Lefi, she'elu kulam hem chelkei ha-mitzvah, because they are mere components. And now the Rambam gives you something which is not completely circular and definitional. Okay? And what does he say? Third line. Yeah.
Ki hu u siva lekavtsam ahavyachar kavutsam tiyeh hamitzvah lekichat hakol biyad biyom haidua.
Good. So he says, how do I know that these are not four mitzvot, but they are one mitzvah?
Because
God commanded you to what?
Do them together.
Yeah, to put them together and then take them as a unit. Right? Meaning, in this case, the way that you keep the mitzvah indicates that these are components of a greater whole. Because God specifically said, take these four, make them one, right? Which is how we, right? Take them together on a specific day. And then he gives you several other examples. I'll read these examples. Right? In order to make a mitzorah pure, you bring karbanot, you sprinkle him. He says you don't count the two birds that you bring and send away and the hyssop and all that and the water and the klicher is a six different mitzvot, because what is the mitzvah? To be mitaher the mitzvah. Right? There's a process, but the mitzvah is ta'arana mitzvah, ta'arana mitzvah, mitzvah, achat b'chol, ta'arana mashizrech, mame elu v'zoladam, klomara giluach, ki kol ela hem chelkeh mitzvah shenem elu ba, v'hi ta'arana mitzvah, u'shidia ala tovar hazeh. Right? He says, the mitzvah is purify the mitzvah. All the other details are questions of how do you accomplish that? V'zeh ha'ikesh be'atzmo בהכר שציוונו שנעשה למצרה בעתו כדי שירחיקו ואומרו בגדיו יפרומים ראשו יפרו אבל שפם יעטב את המתה מיקרא. Based on this we can understand as well the tum'ah of the mitzvah, all the things he needs to do, ve'en pe'ula mikol eila mitzvah b'fnei atzma, aval kibutzam haya mitzvah. In all of these, none of these specific actions are mitzvah, it's the combination, which is the mitzvah. V'hu, she'anachnu nitzdavenu she'naseh heker le'mitzvah. Right, all the halachot of the tumah mitzvah are that, we should distinguish the mitzvah, ad she'kiru ki kol mishirav echeku v'akarot yeh b'kach v'kach. That everyone will recognize that he's a mitzvah, and then the Gemara, and then the Torah tells you, how do you do that? Another example, k'mo mashiv anushin smachal v'nei Hashem, I l'vnei Hashem, ha'yom ha'rishon b'sukkot, m'vorshin b'cha, that rejoicing before God on the first day of Sukkot. This is Dakla Havin, right? It is
something important to know.
Yeah, right? It's important and very right precise. The Ofen Dakutel, let me explain to you the precision. Mash Asaperlach. Okay? And now he starts giving you a little bit more. He pushes you more on this definition. He says, Vizep. You want to pick up from there?
Yeah.
Zeh. Yeah. Shekol mash amru chachamim.
Fourth last word. Second and middle, fourth last word on the line.
Which line is it?
It's like halfway through. Like halfway through.
Is this shekol mash amru chachamim? In that place.
Yeah, that place is our Gemara. There's a reason I put this here. Right? Is this entire Perek. Right? Right? Meaning it's all those sugya that start in Chav Zayin that go through Mem, right? Through the Mems. Right? All of these sugya. There's a reason like... Right? Yes, okay. Okay, good. And he says, here's the rule that the Chachamim set out, which is, if two mitzvot, what are ma'akvin zedzeh? Right, meaning prevent you from fulfilling each other, then, so now let's be very careful, then what? They are one mitzvah. Is that what we call in Hebrew a siman or a siba? Or in English, causation or correlation. Meaning, is something that prevents the fulfillment of something else definitionally the same mitzvah, or is that or what? Does that usually correlate with them being one mitzvah? But that's not the definition. Meaning, is the definition of being one mitzvah that they are all necessary to fulfill each other, or is that an indication of the fact that they're one mitzvah, but the definition of being one mitzvah is those which are conceptually linked, those that are conceptually integrated. L'may nafka mina, why do I care? Why am I being so precise here? What's the nafka mina? Usher, what's the nafka mina between those two formulations? Between saying that the definition of something being one mitzvah rather than two is whether they are necessary to fulfill each other or whether that's a correlation that indicates
if you don't do one, have you still done the mitzvah? But if they're ma'akev, then you haven't.
No, but what's the nafka mina saying this principle of ma'akev is the definition of being one mitzvah or you an indicator?
That's applied to all mitzvahs.
Correct, meaning can there be an exception to that rule, right? Meaning if you think the definition of being one mitzvah is are they necessary for each other's fulfillment, then there will be no exceptions. But if you say what? That really the rule of counting one mitzvah is it an integrated conceptual whole? Then there might be a case where things are counted as two mitzvot and will nevertheless be ma'akev zedzeh, right? So let's see what the Rambam says. He says, "Kimo arba minim shebevelav alechem apanim imlevonaz akashet yaseimo." Right? He said the arba minim or the ktoret, all the parts of the ktoret asar darim vabazichin mak vinzedzeh. They prevent each other from being fulfilled. He's neizem mevuar shi mitzvah achat. V'chein kol ma'ashit ba'er lecha. So now the Rambam says, let me explain to you that everything, now let's read this very carefully, Sha'tachlit ha-mivukash lo yagia b'chilek echad me'otam ha-chalakim, if the desired result cannot be achieved by one part of it, hineu mivuar kibutzam hu ha'inyan ha-nibneh, that shows that their integration is that thing which is being counted. Okay? What does that phrase mean? What does the Rambam say? According to the Rambam, is ma'akev zeh zeh a siman or a siba?
I think it's a siba.
No, it's a siman. No, what did you say, siman?
Yeah.
Yes, siman. It is an indication. It's not the rule. How do I know? Because the Rambam now gives you the formula. What is the actual rule? What does he say? Are these
parts reliable?
Again, let's read it. Shatachlid hamivukash lo yagia b'chilek me'odam ha-chalakim. If the purpose cannot be reached without one of the parts, then that shows you that the combination of them is the integrated unit to which we are headed. So according to the Rambam, what makes something the one mitzvah? The fact that conceptually they aim at one integrated purpose. The fact that they are ma'akev each other is often a good indication of that, but that's just an indication. The definition is
that they end up coming together.
Correct. Now, coming back to our Gemara, which sheet that makes a lot of sense?
The
Yeah, right? Tzitzit, the Arba Tzitziot, are clearly, in that sense, one mitzvah. Right? Now this might answer the question that why does the Gemara... Right? Now, we'll see this a little bit more in depth. But try to defend Rabbi Ishmael. Right? What might Rabbi Ishmael hold?
Well, they just read... If they both said that they read it differently and you see it.
Each tzitzit. Each
verb. Is it tzitzit? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Rabbi Ishmael would argue on this point and he would count that each tzitzit is a different mitzvah and the minyan a mitzvah?
He seems to.
He might.
Actually, no.
He might. Or...
maybe Rabbi Ishmael is counting each tzitzit as another kiyum of the mitzvah tzitzit.
Right, meaning he might not. Right? He might not argue with this. Because, think about it, right? When the Gemara says, what's the nafka mina between it being one mitzvah and four mitzvah, what does it not say? Bracha. It doesn't say,
right.
Is this one mitzvah or four? Like, isn't that a good enough nafka mina, right? Like, what does it say? It's... the Gemara rephrases it and tells you what it's really asking is there a case under which, right? What they're really asking is there any meaning to the components, right?
And the town council is saying the components themselves are pretty much nothing.
Correct. And so I'm saying they're not nothing, right?
They are something.
They're something, right? It's not 100% clear. Ishmael would argue. He might.
Okay, but then what about the case of the story? The bigot, where Ravina's walking behind Mar Bar Ravashi, and the tzitzis rips off.
Oh.
And starts to rip off, and he doesn't say anything.
We'll have to come back to that, right? I mean, that's the continuation of the Gemara. Okay. So then the Rambam continues, and he says, Kemo hakarana mitzora. Right? And this is where it seems clear, right? The Rambam says, what's his example? Mitzora. All the halachot of Tumat Mitzorah are really about one thing, which is the mitzvah isn't to make him rip his clothes and make him call Tameh Tameh. What is the mitzvah?
To be Mitaher.
No, that's Mitaher. Now he's talking about Tumah. Hakarat Mitzorah. What does that mean?
To
make it noticeable that he is a Mitzorah. That's the mitzvah. Right? Right? And therefore all the actions are merely aimed at a single conceptual goal.
So it's all right? It means to an end.
Correct. The same end. That's what he's saying, right? The Rambam's saying what really defines it is, right? He says, Shidbar lecha shehu ilu hi begadav prumim levad velo para rasho velo atal safam velo karatame shelo sa davar velo gi akarado ashi ase kulam. Right? If you didn't rip your clothes, you didn't let your hair grow, etc. You didn't call Tameh Tameh. So you wouldn't reach the recognition until you do all of it. V'chein Taharato. The same is true of the flip side of the process of Tahara. Lo tagia ela b'chol ma shezachar min atzarfim. Asiparim, rather. Right, if you don't go through the whole thing, he's not Tahor. Vamnam. But now I have a problem. Let's go to the things which do not prevent the fulfillment of it, of each other. You might have thought that what? Right? What I was medayik in the Rambam before is even more explicit here. He said, wait a second. Can there ever be something which is not ma'akev each other, which is still one mitzvah? What does he say?
Not
yes. Right? Yes. You can have things which are not ma'akev each other and are still one mitzvah. How? Kemosha amru. And he said, what's his example? And this is where we move to the next perek. Hatchelet eina ma'akevet alavan. V'alavan eino ma'akevet hatchelet. Right, the Rambam paskins like the position that Tchila and Lavan are not necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzit. But what's the problem? How many mitzvah does the Rambam count for tzitzit? One or two?
One.
So the Rambam says, wait a second. And if Tchila and Lavan are not mocking each other, then how could it be one mitzvah? So what does this already indicate? 100%. What is the Rambam's answer going to be?
Siman.
Good. That the question of Ma'akev is only a siman, and it's not 100%. Because the real rule is not, are these ma'akev? What's the real rule? Right? What's the real rule for the Rambam? What does it mean for something to be one mitzvah?
It's about the same meaning.
Yes, is it integrated conceptually? Right? Is it aimed at the same goal? Right? So he says, and therefore he says, so what do I do with tchila and love? And how am I going to explain the fact that it's not ma'akev each other, but it's still one mitzvah? He says, v'hineh hayav shalom lomar, I could have said theoretically that Tchelet and Lavan, right, the white and the blue, sky, whatever, are two mitzvot. If it weren't for the fact of what I found in the Mechilta. Now, what is the Rambam about to do? The Rambam is going to tell you that what? If I asked you in a vacuum, you can fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzit with or without tchilat. So what would you have said? Is tchilat one or two mitzvah of tzitzit? What would you have told me?
Well,
two. Now the Rambam, but the Rambam is telling you that the real rule is not ma'akev. The real rule is this conceptually one unit. But now the Rambam has a methodological problem, which is, if two mitzvot, or two components of a mitzvah, are not ma'akev each other, then how do I know that that doesn't prove that they're two conceptually different ideas such that they should be counted as two mitzvot?
Well, can't you find right? that by seeing if they're conceptually the same?
What?
Can't you just find that by seeing
you? Oh, good, but how am I going to know that? What's the methodological answer to the Rambam's point? How am I going to know that two things are not ma'akev each other, but they're nevertheless one integrated conceptual unit? What is the only way for the Rambam to know that that's true? Right? How? But how are you going to know that?
Well, it kind of takes you into a loop.
The answer is not complicated. It's the next line. What does he say? Well, it's exactly what he said. Lulei mashamatsanu lem lasham mevuar v'mechilta. There's only one answer for the Rambam, which is, if Chazal tell you that despite the fact that these look like two distinct mitzvot, they're not. Right? Meaning, the Rambam's telling you that there are certain things that, how do you know whether they're one mitzvah or not? How do I know whether these are actually two conceptual units or one? What Chazal tell you about the nature of the mitzvah? And he says, what does the Mechilta say? And he says, what does the Mechilta say? V'hu amram sham, yachol shein shtei mitzvot, mitzvah tchilat u'mitzvah lavan. You might have thought that there are two mitzvot, Talmud Lomar, but now, the Mechilta doesn't take it out of anywhere. How does the Mechilta know it?
Because it knows it.
Yeah, how?
Just for the Gemara.
No! The Mechilta becomes before the Gemara. The Mechilta is Tana Edik.
Oh, okay.
Look, I just don't guess, it's the next words. Because, what is this called on my beged, which has tchil and lavan. What is it called in the Torah? Tzitzit. Meaning what?
It has a purpose in the end.
That the Torah calls the tchilet plus lavan tzitzit, which means that the way, what is the mechilta telling you?
Both used together.
That they are integrated into one whole. How do I know? Because by the end they are called tzitzit, right? Which means, according to the Rambam, if something's not makim each other, you might think they're two conceptual units. What's the only way to know that really they're one?
If they're told something.
If Chazal tell you, and where do Chazal get it from?
The Pasuk.
The Pasuk, right? The answer is that sometimes God can reveal to you, right, that something is one unit even though it looks like two. And he says, where do you get this by tzitzit? Because it says, v'hayalachem letzitzit, mitzvah achat v'enashti mitzvot. He make vahit ba'er lecha, which would explain to you what? Sha'afilu halchalakim. Even the components, she'enam ma'akvin zedzeh, that do not prevent the fulfillment of each other, pa'amim yu mitzvah achat, kishayeh anyan achat, will sometimes nevertheless be considered one unit if they are one conceptual point. Ki akavana b'tzitzit. And now he gives you a bit of a philosophy, because what is the point of tzitzit, the integrated whole of tzitzit? L'ma'an tizkiru, that you should remember the mitzvot. In Cain, klal hadavar mechayev lezikaron, the entire unit, which is acting as the memory aid, is mitzvah rachad yimaneh, will be counted as one mitzvah. Hinei lo nishar lanu im Cain, shenabit b'minyan mitzvot, l'amram makvin zeh. And therefore he said, the real rule is not ma'akev. The real rule is, right, are they inyan echad? Are they conceptually linked? So he says, ma'akvin is normally a good indicator. Right? It's a siman. But sometimes it'll be wrong, because the real rule is, are these conceptually integrated?
Is there a,
right? Are they aimed at one purpose?
Is there a good, not a good example of that, where we have something where they are ma'akev, but they're separate mitzvahs?
Well, so first he said not ma'akev, and nevertheless one mitzvah, tchilat v'lavan.
Right. So is there a example?
Good. So this is where the Ma'aseh Nisim came in. Right? We'll start this. Right? I told you this is going to be a careful read of Rambam. Right? And a careful read day, right? Sometimes we'll do not careful read days, and we'll do sort of more broad conceptual ones. This was just a careful read of the Rambam, okay? Does anyone think that my read of Rambam is not a fair read of the conceptual moves that the Rambam made?
Just basic question: how the halacha lemaaseh works? If we see like Rambam that they're too intricately together to be mitzitzit, we don't have to don't use a tchilin now. How would that work?
What did you say?
No. What? I myself don't. Yeah, but
yeah. Don't use the royal we. What colors are here?
Why two blues?
We will get to that. So yeah. You Maimonidean, who thinks you need one out of eight. Very good. Very good. As we will see, the Rambam thinks you need one out of eight. The Ravid thinks you need two out of eight. Rashi doesn't need you need four out of eight. Yes, that is the source sheet I already have prepared for the beginning of the next paragraph. Yes.
Doesn't the Ravid say you need one out of four, not two out of eight?
Yeah, those are mathematically equivalent.
Mathematically, yes. No. But
you're such a lambda, and you're right. He says one out of four, which is two out of eight. Correct.
In the sense that it's the amount of blue strings at the end.
You understand, I'm setting this up. The reason I'm spending so much time on this is because this question is going to be critical for us to understand. Yes, the one out of eight, one out of four, two, four out of eight, or two out of four, everyone understand that? And all those issues, meaning the sugyas are going to build on each other.
Or if we have to do it. I thought the idea of
we will get to that. Yes, we will get to whether Ma'akev Zedzeh. We will go to the Tchelet factory. Okay?
Yes,
we're going to go to the Tchelet factory? Yes! We are going to build this sugya step by step for the next few blot, right? We are going to go through the relevant issues, and then I will explain the sugyas, I will explain the Tchelet, the modern Tchelet controversy, and we will go to the Tchelet factory, and then you will walk in there and you will understand what is going on. Okay? What? No, we're all going to go. The whole yeshiva is going to go. I already checked with Shmuel David because Ray Chaitshir is doing Tchelet now. We're just starting Tchelet now. So that's already most of the yeshiva.
Are we going?
the Tchelet factory. We're not sure exactly when we're going to go, but we will go. Okay? Good. So now, should Maisa Nisim, as I said, mentioned to some of you guys in Seder, is an interesting book. It is a set of tshuvot, it's a conversation, it's a record of conversations between Rav Daniel HaBavli and Rav Ram ben Rambam. Simply with questions of, I don't understand Sefer HaMitzvos, can you please explain to me what your father wrote? And Rav Ram ben Rambam defending his father. That is what this book is. It is a nice, long Sefer, relatively speaking, for that goal. Okay? It is, unlike Hebrew books, like 150 pages or something. Okay? So this tshuva today, we'll see how much of it we actually get through, is the conversation about this point, and just this point. Okay? I held myself back, because there are related Maisanisims in the next tshuva as well, but I only gave you one. Okay? So he writes to Rav Avraham ben Arambam. He says, "Hitbonanti b'mashe zachru zatzal b'sheresh yud aleph mizeh sefer." I was trying to understand what your father wrote in Sheresh yud aleph. Ki kol mashe b'chachamim lechachamim bo ma'amar kinyan ploni mak uploni mak vin zed zed devar barur ki mitzvah achad k'mo arba minin shibet tefillin, etc. Right. So skip down four lines to v'kashali. Right. He quotes the whole thing. Then he says v'kashali. Aliba da hamemra lechado afil mididezal. Share achile psachim om akva olo. Plukta de rishu of Rabbi Natan. He said, there's a machlokes in the Gemara about whether you have to eat the carbon pasach to be yotze or not. Okay? It's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rishu and Rabbi Nasan and the Rabbanan. Do Rishu of Rabbi Nasan ami loma akva? The Rabbanan and Rabbi Nasan say you don't have to eat the carbon pesach to be yotze shchita. Elafilu basar tameh vechelav kayam. Even if the meat becomes tameh and the chelav is kayam, imzarek and adam hurtza, and you then sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, you're yotze, right? You got kapara. V'chein im nimnu alav v'chazru v'nimnu. Afilu acharonim she'en lim kizay lekal echad ve'echad yatsu yidei chavatam bizrikatam. And even if you make a group in the carbon bezach that's too big, such that not everybody can get a kizayet to eat, so still you are yotze. Ve'rabbanan savri achilat basar ma'akva. The chachamim say you have to eat the meat of the carbon pesach. Ve'imnit ma'basar v'zareket adam. If the meat is tamei and you spring in the wad, lo hurtza v'chay be'pesach sheni. You were not yotze, and now you have to bring carbon. You have to bring pesach sheni. V'chein nimnu v'chazru v'nimnu achronim lo yatzu v'chayavin lasot pesach sheni. V'what's mozal pasak rabbanan? And here's his question. The Rambam ruled like the Rabbanan, da'achila ma'akva, that you must eat the carbon pesach. V'im kein havi leshchita ha'pesach uzrikat damo v'achila kulan mitzvah achat. And if that's the case, then what should he have counted? Shchita and achila of carbon pesach is one mitzvah. Because you're not yotze, the shchita, the bringing of the carbon, unless you eat it. Except, so he said, I don't understand. They are me'akev, and they are conceptually linked. How do I know they're conceptually linked? Because the Gemara says that lo ba mitchilato el la'achila, that the purpose of the karban was for it to be eaten, and that's why it's ma'akev. And yet, how many mitzvot does the Rambam count?
Two.
So I don't understand. Both rules have now been violated, right? They are ma'akev each other. They are conceptually linked. And how many mitzvot do you count? One. What are you doing? Right? I don't understand. Umay fresh ben zelabazichen, upezach nemar v'shachtu v'hadar v'achlu v'zigin nemar v'samta otam. Right? He said this should be no different than the ktoret, where the ktoret is ma'akev, all the parts of the ktoret are ma'akev. And how many mitzvot does the Rambam count?
One.
He said, if you don't eat the Korban Pesach, then the Shechita was pointless because you have to bring Pesach Sheni. And yet the Rambam counts. Etc. Im kol zok farmana zal shkita pesach mitzvah achilat mitzvah acharet. He said, I don't understand what's going on. The Rambam gave two indications. One a siman, one a siba, conceptual linkage, and ma'akev zeh et zeh, and then he broke it. Because achila is ma'akev. Right? If you don't eat the Korban Pesach, you do have to make Pesach Sheni, and what? And they're conceptually linked. Right? So, how could the Rambam count these as two mitzvot?
I don't like that.
Good, tell me why you don't like it. I hope you don't like it. Good, why don't you like it?
Because the Rambam seemed to establish a relatively conclusive set of rules for how to view things like this.
Good, and he broke them.
They're ma'akvin zawazo.
Good, and the Rambam counts as two mitzvot. Good, why? That's his question.
So the question is, what do heck?
Like, that's his question. That's what he said. That's what he wrote to Rambam and Rambam and said, what was your father doing? I don't get it. Someone try to defend the Rambam.
Hold up, wait. What are the two things that we're saying are separate mitzvahs right now?
Shchitat Korban Pesach and Achilat Korban Pesach.
Oh, okay. So one possibility is that it's a mitzvah on different people. The Baal or the Baalim have to eat it, but the Kohen has to shecht it.
Okay, let's try more conceptual. Right, meaning I think you're onto something, but let's try it again. Meaning, what do you think Rav Ram is going to say to Rav Daniel Bavli? I think it's Daniel Bavli. It's not Nassan Bavli, right? Wait, Rav Shmuel David. Maisa Nisim is Daniel Bavli or Nassan
Bavli?
Nathan Bavli. Sorry, Nathan Bavli. I take it back. I was like, it doesn't sound right. There's two people. No, it's Nathan Bavli, right? To Nathan Bavli, what's he going to say to him? Come on. Let's think. So let's be careful. This is what we're going to force us to sharpen the Rambam. How does he understand that they are aimed at Tachlit HaMevukash? What does he think? What does that mean? That they have one
end
goal, right? And therefore, he proves based on that what? Shechita and Achila are one mitzvah. Why? Because you shecht in order to eat. Right, lo bamit chilat de la achila. Except, Usher already indicates that maybe we're reading this wrong. Which is the question isn't are they aimed at the same purpose? What is the point? Are they aimed at the same purpose in what? In such a way that indicates that they are the same thing. Here, there's good reason to believe these aren't the same thing. Why?
Because you should talk other things also.
Because these are. Like completely different people, completely different actions, completely different spheres, right? But let's hold that thought, right? Then he quotes the rest of the Rambam. Skip down to where it says Nitba'er. You see where it says Nitba'er?
No.
So what, like seven lines down, right? He literally quotes from the Shoresh. He's going, quoting Shoresh, and then... No, V'Nitba'er. Right, the next paragraph... Right, see after the ellipsis, if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, 7 lines down in the middle of the line. After it says, Adkan Lashono.
Yeah,
right, so he says, quotes the Rambam, he says, Nitba'er. Ki inyana kolel shomar, inyana kolel shar ma'asim, hua mivukash biminyan, va'alav nismoch. Right, that a thing which includes many actions, and that is the desired result, that is what we rely on. Vilo nishar makom lin nehemar makvin vein makvin. Says, the Rambam makes it clear by the second half that is makvin a real rule? No. The real rule is, right, this is exactly how we read the Rambam. The real rule is not makvin. What's the real rule? Are they one issue conceptually or not? V'chein amar v'tashlum ma'amar. He said, that's what it says at the end. V'lo nishar im ken shenabit minyan mitzvot el ma'amar ma'akvin v'lo ma'akvin. Achel inyan bilvad. We don't really look at ma'akvin, we look at the issue. Im hu inyan echad or rabim. Is this one or two? Im ken hayotze miklal ma'amar im ba'a ra'yak inyan tamim az lo nilin l'ne'amar ma'akvin v'in ma'akvin. V'im ein l'anu ra'ya az navi ra'ya mi'uka mi'ikuv. He says, therefore, the first thing you do is ask, are these one thing? If you're not sure, so then what's usually a good indicator? Ma'akvin, but that's only a siman. But the first thing you do is try to understand it conceptually. Are these the same? But now he has a problem, right? Because he said, okay, the Rambam counts Achilat Pesachim and Shechitas Pesach as two mitzvot. Tefillin Lavan he counts as one mitzvah. What about Tefillin?
Two mitzvot.
Two mitzvot. Right? Good. What? He says, I don't understand. Achzot is varnisterot misvara mitzvilin. So now I'm just confused. Right? Because Tefillin... Aren't tefillin aimed at the same purpose?
No.
That you should remember God? Good, the answer is going to be no. Good, right? But aren't they the same? Right? They are both there to make you remember the Torah. Exactly like tzitzit. But by tefillin he counted two mitzvot, and by tzitzit he counted one mitzvah, tefillin and lavan. Right? And he says the same argument, let's see. And then if you skip down, and he said, and if it's just about purpose, he said, and this is really not a great question, he says, maybe 100 different mitzvot that you think are multiple mitzvot are one. Like Shabbos is also Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim, and so is Tefillin, and so is like a million different things. Aren't those all one big mitzvah? He said, no. So he said, maybe by tzitzit, the real issue is just the pasuk, okay? That it says, calls it tzitzit. He said, maybe that's what it is. But he said, I just don't understand, like, what is really the conceptual rule going on in the Rambam? Okay? I think we're going to have to leave it
there.
Okay, sure, I'm giving question and answer, so it's fine. So let's try to get it. Hatshuva. So what does he say? Go to the tshuva. Rambam ben Rambam tries to give him a rule. What is really the rule? He says, listen. Hevdel gadol bein Amram devar ploni ma'akev devar ploni ubein Amram b'shnei devarim medubakim me'akvin zedzeh. He said, listen, there are two reasons that something can be ma'akev. You can have two completely conceptually distinct things that are ma'akev each other, and you have, can have things which are ma'akev because they are one. Right? He says, why? Said, listen, right? Give me a very simple mashal, right? You can say that if you miss the bus, you won't be on the tiyul. That doesn't mean that the bus is the tiyul, it's just that
it's what gets you to the
tiyul. It's what gets you to the tiyul, and yes, if you didn't get on the bus, you won't be at the tiyul. That doesn't mean that they're the same thing.
The shechting made
right?
It so you agree with the
correct. So he says, listen. He said, the reason, he said, the real principle is conceptual link. You can have things which prevent each other from being yotzei because they are linked. So for example, right, if you're trying to build a circuit, and you don't put the wires on the right positives and negatives, then the circuit won't start. In that case, does the fact that the circuit doesn't start and that the positives and negatives being hooked up in the right way prevent each other from being ma'akev?
Yes.
Right? Does that prove that they're one issue? One unit?
Yes.
Yes, because why is it not the electrons not starting to run through it? Because there's no circuit. Right? But the fact that I won't make it to the tiyul if I miss the bus doesn't prove that the bus is the tiyul. It just proves
that the bus gets you to the tiyul.
Right? You can have...
Okay, so you can't do a chila if you haven't done shkita.
Exactly. So he says, listen. He said exactly what Usher said. He said, look, shkita is done on yudalid. Eating achila is done on tedvav. Right? These are completely different. Mitzvah shkita michovat yom arba asar. Right? Right, these are different mitzvah. They happen on different days. They're done in different places. Right? One, sort of. Right? These are completely different mitzvot. He says, so what does it mean when you say... He says, look, two lines from the end of this paragraph. He says, "Ve'ena kasher chashavti." You misunderstood. It's not what you should kibush shechita lo kiyem ha-mitzvayim lo achal. We're not saying that you didn't shecht it if you didn't eat it. What are we saying? B'shechita kiyem mitzvay kasher lo achlen ruyin afil lo achlo. So what does it mean? The shechita requires that there be people to eat it. But it's not that. They're not the same thing. They're just connected. Right? You need to shecht for people to eat. Right? If you didn't eat, then you're going to have to do the shechit again. But these are two, obviously, two separate things.
Shechita was
right?
Still done.
Correct. I didn't go on the bus, or I didn't make it on the tiyul. Or I did go on the bus, and then I didn't go to the tiyul. Right? So you'll say, going on the bus was pointless if I didn't go on the tiyul. That doesn't mean it is the tiyul. Right? If I get to the tiyul, right, and then I'm forced to sit it out for whatever reason, right? So going in the bus was pointless. That doesn't mean I didn't go on the bus, right? I did. It's pointless. And now if you say, did you go on the tiyul? The answer will be, no, I didn't go on the tiyul. Ah, you slept 3 hours on the bus. And a chanami, but I didn't go on the tiyul. Right? Meaning you can have things like that. Yeah. Right? He says, that shechita, he says, v'amru achila psagim ma'akva l'zrika, in ze pekishor azrika b'achila v'achila b'zrika, ashir gmar mitzvah shechita. He said, don't think that when we say that achila psagim is ma'akiv, that means that it's as if eating is the end of the shechita. Right? That's how Rav Nachman Bavli understood this. Right? That, oh, the fact that it's ma'akiv means that these are one thing. He said, no. Ma'yu mitzvah achara yomer shechita b'edek v'achila ma'akvin zed zed. So then, you should have said ma'akiv. Echi dachin shomar zeh, yakish l'vizachay levona. He said, there are different times, right? Hayor ha-shechita tluya b'zman acher, chutz mizman mitzvah achila, ki mitzvah ha-shechita michovat yomar ba'asar, etc. He says, all it is... okay, so next paragraph.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
So does this all mean that if you do shechita, and then no one eats it, the mitzvah of shechita wasn't done?
Or it was pointless, and therefore you have to do it again.
You might have to do it again, but you've been mekayim the mitzvah of shechita.
So, maybe you're mekayim it, but ma'akev here means you have to do it again. Right? At the very least, you have to do it again, because you didn't eat it, and it made the shechita pointless. Right? Just like going in the bus was pointless if I didn't actually get to go on the tiyul. That doesn't mean I didn't do it. The action happened, but it's pointless. Right? But it's a pointless action. Right? But he said, again... You can have things that are clearly steps in a process aimed at a certain goal, but they're still clearly two different things that happen to depend on each other. Okay. That's different than saying that they're an integrated whole. And he says, "Amnam hakusha b'chelak hasheni asher chayav b'mashachiyev mashidachen yisgebo bali yun chadomev anachnu nigel mistora." He said, "Let me explain the second issue, the secret." He says, "By bilulav arba mitzvot yadua kiim achelkei mitzvah." The Arba Minim, we know that they're one thing. He said, what's the difference between the Tfilin and the Arba Minim? So I'll tell you why. Because by Lulav, right, they are, if you didn't take four of them, you only took three, then what? Nimnalim Tzorevi, lo kiyem, mehem mitzvah klal. That's nothing. Why? Because is there a cheftza halachically of a lulav? What's the Rambam really saying? Not really. Right? The cheftza shal mitzvah, so to speak, is the arba minim yachad.
But there is a cheftza of lulav.
There's a cheftza of lulav. But there's not. But the netila is netila arba. Right? But what about. Right? And that's why you say one bracha. Hatfilin enam kazeh. If I happen only to have the shel yad, then what should I do? Put it on. Right? If I only have the shel rosh, put it on. And therefore there are separate brachot. Though the Sfaradim and not, except in certain circumstances. So what does he say? So skip to the next paragraph. He says, "Omnam ochadchami ma'amaro b'tchelat v'lavan ki tachnitam echad alken shnei mitzvah echad haro'ui mizeh l'fi ma'shener lecha ki imnu shnei mitzvot shel tefillin mitzvah echad kasher zacharta." He said, Okay, but what are you confused about by tefillin? And he said, tefillin should be like tchelet and lavan, right? That's really his question, right? Tchelet and lavan and tzitzit are really the big question, right? How does this work? He says, zeh ta'ud, that's a mistake. He said, it's not that they're aimed at the same generic purpose, right? He said, are you crazy? What, are you going to take the 613 mitzvot and reduce it down to five, right? These are the mitzvot that are zechelet to Mitzrayim. These are about remembering God, like, right? At some level, all mitzvot are like that, right? All of machal rasurot are about v'yitem kdoshim, right? The whole, he said, in the end of the day, k'mohem kol tariag mitzvot achar shtei mitzvot. The entire Torah would be one or two mitzvot, depending on how you, right? Ah, yeah, exactly. Ava and Yira. Fear and, right, fear God, love God. That's everything in a nutshell. He said, what are you, crazy? He says, they are tachlit echad. He said, he doesn't mean one generic purpose. He means tachlit echad midubakim. It's one integrated, connected purpose, not like one generic goal. He says, what about tefillin? So he says, tefillin, what do you see? That tefillin is not like that. Right? Tefillin, it must be that they are, right? The fact that you would wear one without the other completely, right? Tell you that these are two different ways of accomplishing the goal. Yes, they accomplish the same goal, but they are conceptually distinct. Let's just summarize. What does he say? What did Rambam really say to him? He said, look, the Rambam's rule is as follows. For something to be one mitzvah, it needs to be conceptually one idea. That means the following. Sometimes that means if it's ma'akev zedzeh, that it's one. But that's not always true. That's normally a good indication. But if something is clearly one unit, right, it is one mitzvah. If it's two units, it's separate. Said sometimes you'll have something which is ma'akev, but there are two units. How would that be
if one
clearly that it's one leads to the other, not that they're the same, like, right?
For example, if you can't be mekayim a mitzvah without having done the other one first.
Correct. That's just saying that these things have to go in a process, not that they're necessarily one.
Right.
Right. The real world, the rules are conceptually integrated, and if it's conceptually integrated, doesn't mean they're aimed at the same purpose, because many mitzvot are aimed at the same purpose. What does it mean? They're aimed at the same purpose in a unified way, such that they're the same. And he says, and then he says, what's the... Now, you're going to ask me, okay, but still, why is it that tefillin is formulated the way it is and tefillin love it or not?
Word for this.
What?
For the mitzvah that... Once you're becoming the first mitzvah, that allows you to the second mitzvah. Ma'akev can't be the right word for that.
Correct. Because no, I mean, ma'akev just means it prevents you from filling. It's true.
Kohen Simcha or Kohen Uri does do two mitzvahs.
So then, okay, but then what does he say? Right? So, therefore, for him, let's just get this out. So, tchelen and loving for him, why is it one mitzvah? Because it's not just they're aimed at the same purpose, but what?
They
do it as a chefza called tzitzit, right? In an integrated way.
One
chefza. Tfilin, what do? They're aimed at the same goal, but not in an integrated way. And how do I know that they're not integrated?
Because you can wear just one.
Because the Gemara says I can wear just one, and that's meaningful.
That's awesome.
Right? Now, what's going to be the problem? The problem is going to be that we're still going to have to sharpen this, because can you wear lavan without tchelet?
Yes.
Yes. Are you Yotze?
Yes.
Yes, according to the Shita, that ain't ma'akvin. So then how is it, then why is that, why does that not indicate that it's separate? So the Rambam and Rambam's answer is that they're still one integrated unit. What's the question we're going to have to answer in the upcoming Shirim?
Why can you wear tefillin without tchelet?
Why is that true? Meaning, we've described what the case is. What do we need to still do? Explain how the heck we got there, because one could have come to not this conclusion. Okay? But that's what's going to be left. Okay?
Can you wear tefillin without
tchelet? No.
According to...
Okay.
Why